Today's reading comes from Nehemiah, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and then chapter 1, verse 11, through to 2, verse 5. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, when I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favour in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, "What is it you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favour in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried, so that I can rebuild it." This is the word of the Lord.
Great prayers, Ron. It inks in absolutely with what I'm talking about today. So today's sermon, I'm calling it Care, Prayer and Dare. And it's about when you see something that's upsetting you or grieving you, prayer is, whatever it is, whether it's something here in your life, whether you've got a health issue or something, or whether you're seeing something that's happening over in the Middle East or the Ukraine or poverty in the Indigenous communities. So this sermon today is about that and about one of my favourite characters in the Bible, Nehemiah. I'm sorry Brenda's already outed me as Nick's sister. I will just tell you now, I don't have his sense of humour. If this was Nick giving this sermon, you would be getting some joke about, you know, who's the smallest man in the Bible? Nehemiah, right? So anyway, so today I'm just going to talk about Nehemiah. And he, when you read about him, he's a great man of prayer and a great leader. And God used him. He was just doing his day job, working as the cupbearer for the king, basically who was king of the world at that time, Artaxerxes, the Persian king. And he was just doing his day job. His brother comes back from Jerusalem, and then Nehemiah hears what was happening there, that the whole city was torn down, and the people who were there, who'd gone back from the exile, were in a really bad place, and it grieved him. And I'm really inspired, because the first thing he did was go and pray, and it says he prayed for some days and fasted. They actually think it was about 4 months. So it was just good to see what his first reaction was for that. And when he went back, then he actually had the opportunity, while he was praying and fasting, God actually gave him a plan. And his plan involved obviously wanting to go to Jerusalem, which he needed to ask the king permission for. So he prayed one day and said, "God," as you see in the reading, he prayed one day and then the king notices him and looks, says, "You look sad, what's your problem?" And he tells the king, as we've seen in the reading as well, "I'm really sad because Jerusalem is in such a bad way and I want to go there." So I'll just give you a bit of background before we start. The book of Nehemiah is it's one of the historical books in the Bible.
It's actually a sequel to Chronicles and Ezra. It's a post-exilic period. It's in the Jewish scriptures. Ezra and Nehemiah are actually one book. And in Nehemiah, the situation was that God had told the Israelites that if they disobeyed him, that he would send them into exile for 70 years. So that's all happened. The northern and the southern kingdom had both gone into exile. And then some of the exiles had started to come back to Jerusalem. So when people started returning from Jerusalem under Cyrus the Great, everyone was really excited. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. We're going to be like the old days. We'll have our great temple back. The city will be wonderful. And here we see the situation many years on. It's almost 100 years now since the first exiles went back. And Nehemiah's hearing that it's in a very bad way. We don't actually know very much about who Nehemiah was, or much about him, apart from what's actually in the book of Nehemiah itself. And much of what's in Nehemiah is actually his own personal account. It's called the Nehemiah Memoirs. Scholars think he must have been about 25 years old. He was probably of royal birth. I think he might have been a noble. It's unlikely he had even been to Jerusalem himself, because he's working for the king in Susa, in Persia, and that was like 1,800 kilometres away, they didn't have planes or anything like that, so it was 1,800 kilometres away from Jerusalem. Yet when he heard the story of what was happening there in his homeland, he was shattered, and he spent a lot of time in prayer. And then he had the opportunity to speak to the king, and the king says, yes, you can go to Jerusalem for 12 years. And not only can you go to Jerusalem, I'm going to give you letters so you'll get all the materials. I'm going to give you some armed men to go with you. And in addition, I'm going to make you governor of Judea. Right? So here you've got a young man working in the palace as a cupbearer, and suddenly he's being sent to be the governor in Judea. So that alone was a great miracle. It was quite astounding for God to do that in that way and give such favour with the king. So Nehemiah then goes, like, sometimes when God gives us a great big answer to prayer and a great miracle and a great vision, it's not always as easy as it looks. You think, oh, he's done this great miracle, it's going to be easy now. It wasn't easy for Nehemiah. First he had his 1,800 kilometre trip. When he got there, everything's in ruins, all the people are unhappy. That's hard for any leader. He could have stayed back in Susa and done his job in the nice cushy palace, but he chose to go to Jerusalem. So the first thing that he did when he got there, I'm going to give you a quick walk through the whole of Nehemiah. I didn't put the whole lot in the reading because it would have been too long, but I'll give you some excerpts. And we'll walk through it. So when he gets to chapter 2 of Nehemiah, he's arrived in Jerusalem, and the first thing he does is he doesn't say anything to the Jews or anyone about why he's there. He says, I was quiet for 3 days. I just looked, heard, walked around, and then at night he went out and did a reconnaissance around the whole city to find out what was happening. And he said, until then, he didn't share with the people what was in his heart, the plan that God had put in his heart. On the third day, it was the right time. Sometimes God gives you a vision of things he wants you to do, and it's not always the right time to speak straight away. You need to just go and prepare, get things organised, put the plan in place, and that's what Nehemiah did. So by the time he spoke to the people after 3 days, he really inspired them, and he said, look, I went to the king, and this is what the king said. He gave us all these provisions. He wants us to rebuild the walls and, you know, refix the city. And, you know, God has really moved in this way, and this is a miracle. And now I want you all to gather together, and we're going to build the walls together. So the walls have been totally down. There was not very many people living in Jerusalem at that time, and it was just a big pile of rubble. So the people all went, oh yeah, that's amazing. God did do a big thing. Okay, we'll help you build. So they all start building. And then as they're building, the walls are getting higher and higher. They started to come under attack. The people around there was a few nobles Israelite nobles, Jewish nobles who were there, they weren't participating in the rebuilding. You know, there's often that when people are doing some big mission for God, there's always a few who stand off at the side and don't help. And these men were standing off at the side, and they were also working with some of the other people who were around the community from the other nations who didn't want the walls rebuilt because they didn't want Jerusalem rising again. And they were working with them. So as Nehemiah was going on through, if you read through the book, you'll see they come under all this attack. First, they start calling them names and threatening them and saying, we're going to come and do this and do that. And he just says to the people, just ignore that. You know, just let's keep focused on what God's given us to do. And he just says, God, remember these people who are doing this. And just brings them before God, prays about it, and then keeps on focused. Then they come and they start threatening and making plans to come and attack them. And then God revealed the plans to Nehemiah. So Nehemiah says, okay, everybody, out you get. We're not only going to be building this rabble into a wall, but you're also going to wear your armour and have your sword in one hand, so you've got to build with one hand and be prepared in the other. So he made plans. So practical plans for defence, but also brought it before God. So then he had... So that went on. Then they started, you know, the grumblings. The people were getting tired, you know, they were going on. And the nobles who weren't helping, they came along and they started oppressing the people who were helping. All the peasants and everyone who was getting in building the wall, they couldn't be off doing their own farming or their own work at that time because they were all devoted to building the wall. And so these other people, the nobles, said, well, since you're not earning money and you've run out of money, we'll lend you money at very high rates, and started taking their livestock from them or the children into slavery and putting them under oppression. So when Nehemiah, and then the people started complaining, we're building the wall, we're doing what you want, and this is what's happening. So Nehemiah then came and said, called all the nobles over, this is in chapter 5, and goes, stop, this is not how we do things. And he brought in a whole lot of social justice reforms that meant they had to lend money but without interest. He made them all dedicate themselves to God and make a commitment that they would do the right thing, and then addressed all those social issues that were happening at that time so the people could keep building. So then their leaders around the side, I'm just telling you, any time you're actually doing something for God, you'll get all these different things start happening to you, and you're going, oh, how is, you know, what now? Then he starts having them, they're making death threats to him, or saying, you know, insiders, people who fake friends. He had fake friends amongst the Israelites coming up and saying, come to me, you know, come with me, let's go and hide in the temple because you need to be kept safe and these guys are going to kill you, so stop work and go in the temple. And Nehemiah says, no, stop, I'm not going to do that. They even gave him fake prophecies. I'm prophesying, God's told you to go and do these things, you know, to stop this and go here and stop this rebuilding. So even the fake spiritual things were happening. And he just goes, nope. You can hear, as you read, you'll see there's numerous prayers all throughout. Every time he comes under attack, Nehemiah goes in prayer to God. And he goes, God, remember them. And it's so... I'm just always really inspired by what he does with that. And then he reaches the point where they actually finished the wall. And now this was amazing. I mean, it would have been down for like maybe more than 150 years. And these guys had come and had been, the exiles had been back for 100 years almost. And yet he comes back and in 52 days, this ragtag team miraculously rebuild this wall despite all the attacks and everything that they had. And it was quite astounding because after that, well, it was a miracle that they rebuilt like that. And it gave pride to the city and the people. And the people were so thankful to God that immediately then, you see in Nehemiah chapter 8, they get together and this huge revival breaks out. And like they all turn to God and they recommit to the covenant and serving God. And, you know, so Nehemiah, first he's come in, they physically rebuilt the city, which was an answer to prayer. Then he's brought in all these social justice reforms into how things operate and how the poor are treated. And then you see spiritual reforms, massive spiritual reform. So you have Nehemiah, who was just one guy off in his room in the palace, praying because he'd heard what a bad situation it was. And God used him to go to Jerusalem, lead Jerusalem, and then bring in this massive reform in every aspect of their lives. And you just think, he never probably would have imagined that when he first heard that his brother coming and telling him about what was going on there. He probably just, it wouldn't have even occurred to him in a million years that that's how it would be and that's how God would use him. And I just wanted to encourage you today. So there's a number of takeaways, I feel, from this lesson today. And the first thing is that when you hear about things that you're, you know, unhappy about or are challenging or grieve you, start praying, because God does answer prayer. And I've seen, like, Steve and I attend a Friday night prayer group. And our prayer group, we pray for Australia and government and politics. And in the last few years, God is just giving us amazing answers to prayer, like gobsmacking ones. And so, for example, one day we were there and I just said, I'm really sick of reading in the media about all these foreign drug lords, all these Australian drug lords who've escaped Australia and gone off to Turkey and Lebanon, and they're sitting over there running billion-dollar empires into Australia, and they're untouchable. And I said, let's pray for their protection to be removed. And so that Friday night, we prayed that God would remove the protection from these Australian drug lords. I've got a newspaper article. The following week, the newspaper reported Turkey went on a blitz, arrested 37 Australian drug lords and their offsiders, and deported all the leaders back to Australia to face charges, right? The very next week, and 12 the following week, so 51 in all the week after we prayed. And some of those drug lords had actually been over there, they'd been on the run from Australia since 2010, right? So we're getting answers like that. We've had other times where we've prayed, you know, for the truth about something to be revealed in the media, because a whole lot of, you know, factual inaccuracies has been untruths, and we've asked God to shine his light. The next morning it's been on the front page of The Australian, and I've got so many examples of that. So it's not just in Nehemiah's time that we can get prayers answered. I mean, our prayer group, we're nothing special. If you look, it'd be like looking at the congregation here. You're just a mixed group of normal Christian, down to earth, or maybe not normal in our case, but just we're just a group of people who get together and pray, and then the more God answers our prayers, the more people are wanting to come along because they're just so excited. The more we're seeing, like, that's only one big example, but we've got so many like that now. It's just happening more and more. And when you see God moving like that, it really builds your faith. And really helps, and just everything. Helps you want to pray more. So I'm encouraging you to pray. Everyone is, all Christians, we're called to pray. And even if it's only a few minutes a day, when you do, one, God answers. Not always the way that you would like, but he does answer. And sometimes you might be praying a long time. I mean, Nehemiah was praying and fasting for 4 months. Sometimes it might be years and years that you're praying for something. So I just would encourage you to pray. The Bible says in Philippians 4, verses 6 to 8, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. And the second thing I wanted to draw out today was how Nehemiah actually got guidance from God. So at the start, when he went and to the king, he already had a plan. When he went to actually to Jerusalem, he had a plan that God had given him. He says God gave it to him. And then all the different challenges that he faced throughout, he just gave them to God. God gave him the strategy, and then it worked. So I just would encourage you, the Bible in the New Testament, it says in James 1:5, that when you lack wisdom, ask God and he will give it generously to you. I think we all can do with some generous God wisdom in our lives, in everything that we're doing. So, and when you're facing challenging decisions, you know, there's lots of things that are happening in our lives, there's lots of things that are happening in our society. And some of people, a lot of people in this church, I know, because I've seen the great serving heart you've got, you know, one of the things that drives us is really wanting to make a difference in the world or in our community and change things. And prayer is one of the ways that you can do that. And standing up, I loved it that Nehemiah, he also took the time out to address the social justice issues as well. He didn't just say, oh, no, no, we're focused on the building, you know, the engineer approach. He actually said, oh, there's something happening here with the poor. This needs to be addressed first. So I love that as well. And the final thing I just wanted to say to you is, no matter what your age is, no matter what your situation is, God is looking for people who are ready, willing and available. Sometimes there's a cost. Nehemiah could have stayed at home in the cushy palace, but he knew it would be hard. I'm sure he knew it maybe have been harder than he actually expected, but I think he was already expecting it to be hard, and he chose to do that. And look what happened. He was able to transform a nation. And some of those reforms that he brought in apparently are still in practice today, like a massive impact right down through the ages. So you don't know how God can use you, but if you're ready, willing, available and obedient, he can use you in big ways, and I just would encourage you with that. Yep. And so, yeah, the big thing today is pray, prayer, care about things. If you want to know how to pray, just make a time each day. And I know that sounds trite, but find a time that suits you. For me, it's if I don't do it first thing in the morning, it doesn't happen. Just make a time. There's many different ways and tools that you can use. It doesn't have to be for 3 hours of, you know, prayer on your knees. Even if you just start with 10 minutes, if you're not already doing it, you know, and just work up from there. And you think, well, what would I pray about? Well, think about what you care about. God puts different things on people's hearts, and he puts different things on your heart at different times. For me, I go through phases. It might be for people who need healing. Other times, I mean, at the moment, he's put persecuted Christians in other nations, which is new. I haven't been praying on that before, but that's a new thing at the moment for me. So just work out the sort of things, what you're passionate about. If you're passionate about poverty, or you're passionate, if you want to see all the seats filled here, or if you want all your missionaries overseas to have great fruit for their labour, there's lots of things that you can pray about. Your family members, your health, there's so many different things. So I just would encourage you to pray. And yeah, pray. And the other thing I would say is something that encouraged me. Last year, I saw this thing. It was actually on the Bible app. Many of you would have the Bible app on your phone. It's a fantastic app. And it has these sort of studies that you can do along with it. And it had this one called Dangerous Prayers. I thought, Dangerous Prayers, okay, that sounds good for me. So I started looking at that. And it challenged me to do a prayer audit. I thought, what's a prayer audit? And a prayer audit, they said, look at everything you've prayed in the last week and imagine if God answered every prayer you prayed in the last week, how would the world be a different place? Oh, that was such a challenge for me. I thought, for some people, I'm hoping, you know, people would go, well, I would have had 3 good parking spots at Westfield at Hornsby, you know. It really challenged me to lift my prayers and start praying big like Nehemiah did. Start, you know, what am I praying for? Just am I praying for these little trite things that are unimportant here? Or am I starting to, you know, I'm not saying that God would answer every single prayer that you pray in a week. He may do, but I'm not giving you bad theology with that. He does answer prayer and he loves us to pray, but I'm just saying it's really good strategically to do that prayer audit approach, because when you start thinking of that, you think, oh, I have got a secret for you. If you haven't prayed, you can't get answered prayer, right? But if you have prayed, just think what you're praying about, and that has really, thinking on that dangerous prayer approach and that prayer audit has really changed how I've been praying, and it's been a real encouragement to me. So anyway, Nehemiah is, I would encourage you all to go and read the book of Nehemiah. It's not very long. It's a historical book, so you can read it like a novel. It's amazing. It's his personal account, which is unusual to have in the Bible. And it's very inspiring. Just have a look as you read through how many times he prays, what he prays about, the circumstance he prays in, and also his great leadership skills. Because you have time when all the people are just going, oh no, this is too hard, we'll give up. And he just gets in there and he says, nope, God will do this, take heart. And they all rise, and then, you know, to achieve that 52 days to rebuild the wall and the massive revival and the social justice reforms. That started with a man in his room praying.